up, fam? Welcome back to the World That's Good podcast. Happy Wednesday, everybody. I hope your week is going fantastic. As always, it's about to get real good. It's about to get so much better because I have a sweet friend on the podcast today that many of you probably heard of. It's Donna Stewart. It's Ben Stewart's wife. They're a power couple for the kingdom, but she's a great friend of mine. I'm so grateful she said yes to be on this podcast. Get ready to learn a lot and just get excited because she's an awesome person. So Donna, thanks for being on the podcast.
Oh my gosh, this is so fun. I'm so excited to get to be on. Ben's been on a couple times and now here we are.
He has been on. Now the real star of the Stewart fam is coming on.
No.
Hey, I'm just kidding. Y'all are both incredible, and Christian and I look up to y'all in so many ways for so many reasons. Mm-hmm. And I know I've got to have Ben on, which is a true gift because he's so wise and always teaches us so much, but it's nice to have his other half on as well.
Yes. I'm so excited to be here. You know, it's so funny, like you and Christian are like kindred spirits of ours. It's pretty fun how similar we enjoy joking around and how much love we have for the scriptures and for community and all the things. So it's really fun to get to just talk with somebody who I feel like you're like the younger me, but not.
It's true. It is true. Every time we're with Donna and Ben, it's so funny because we're always together in like these passing moments. It's like passion and it's all crazy and there's this and that, but me and Donna always manage to get into the deepest conversation ever in
so
like
fast.
In like the 2 minutes we have to see each other, like so
right.
fast. It's like, hey, how are you doing? What's new in your life? What's God telling you? And then we're like straight into the depth of everything, and then 3 minutes
so
later
fast.
We have to move on.
We're like, all right, and now we're doing this. Yeah, it'll be like in the back of a car, or it'll be like on walking down a hallway, or it's whatever. It's just really fun because we can just pick up, and it's just so organic and it's so fun. And the truth is, like, what I love about you, Sadie, is you're just quick to get to the meat. And I just love that. I love that you're like, hey, here's what's going on with me. How are you doing? Da, da, da. And we can just get there fast. And I just think that that is a mark of a good friendship. And it's I feel safe with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so thank you for that.
Oh,
like, I
so
appreciate
sweet.
you're a trustworthy person. And that's why I would share anything.
Right back at you. I would say right back at you. I was talking to Steph about this. We talked about you. And one day she was going through something. She was like, I think we should call Donna Stewart because I know she would give me good advice and she will be so loyal. And I think that's so true. And what a gift to know. I can call this person. They're going to give me good, godly advice. And I know they're going to be loyal. So for all you listening, that's who we're talking to today. before we jump into the whole conversation, I got to ask you the question. I ask everyone on the World That's Good podcast, which I know will be hard for you to answer.
It will be. I have so many.
I know it will be hard. What is the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
Oh, man. It's so hard. I have like three.
Hit us with all three. We would love
all three?
Them. All three.
Oh, man. Okay. Yes. I'll go with the first one that I remember, and it was whenever I was around. I was a little older than you. No, I was actually your age. You're 26, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was 26.
That's awesome.
And I was visiting with a friend who you know, her name's Christy Knuckles, and she was just having babies, and kind of that was her world. She was still doing music, and she said, "Hey, bloom where you're planted." And I was like, "Thank you, okay." But it was funny because I was like still doing more, and I didn't have children yet, and I was kind of doing more, and she was like, "Just bloom where you're planted because God has you in that season." He has you in that moment for a reason, and you can bloom there. And I'm like,
wow.
Okay, cool. So, you know, it wasn't until babies, actually, that I realized, oh, this is what she means. When I'm not doing the things that I was recently had been known for. But now I have these little lives that I'm taking care of, and I have, other gifts and other things that I've got to think about. How can I best bloom in this new season. And I use it all the time. And I've told 100 people, maybe more, just, hey, bloom where you're planted. And that has a lot to do with a lot of the things that I am about these days. It definitely was part of taking me on a journey that I could metabolize and process and think through and just saturate in so that hopefully whenever I get down to the bottom of it, I can tell others about what's going on whenever you are blooming or you're planted. Sometimes that's people good. Don't like to be planted. They want to be go. But sometimes you have to be planted in order to go.
Yes. And so, that would be so the first good. One.
Gosh, bloom where you're planted.
We started off really strong. I love that because you're so right. And especially nowadays, it just feels like everyone wants to go to the next thing, go to the biggest city, go to the coolest new hype movement, whatever it is. And it's like, actually, like, God has you where you're at for a reason. Like, bloom there.
Absolutely.
Bloom where you're planted. Not everybody needs to go, you know? Some people right. need to stay.
And some people need to stay.
And that's yes. not, and maybe I can just hear people saying, well, Jesus said, like, go and tell. Yes, yeah, like, go and tell, but, like, where right. you're at, you know? Like,
right, exactly.
You can do that
what
right
is in front of
at.
You.
Right? Yeah.
And I mean, if you think about Jesus's, like, his radius,
yeah.
he didn't go very far.
Yeah.
But because he went where he did, then it was that ripple effect that went to the ends of the earth. Right.
Because he bloomed where he because was planted.
Yeah, exactly. It was amazing.
I love that. All right, here's number two.
Okay, number two. Number two, I actually, so it, I received it during the COVID season. You know, I had gone through losing some things in life and I had lost some relationships and it was tough. And it kind of put me in a tailspin. And I just felt like the Lord really wanted me to go to counseling, which, by the way, biblical Christian counseling is absolutely good for all people.
Yep.
And so I just, you know, because the world basically shut down, I could shut down. I didn't have to be out front as much. And so I went to counseling and my counselor, who was based out of Nashville, said to me, hey, the way to live your life is a triangle. So the triangle is wisdom. You've heard me say this, wisdom. Love, top, wisdom, and integrity. Mm-hmm. That's how you make decisions. That's how you see the person that you're dealing with. You see yourself. This is how you handle making right decisions in life. If you take out any of them, if you take out love, it's not a good decision.
Yeah.
If you take out wisdom, it's not a good decision. If you take out integrity, it's not a good decision.
Yeah.
It's bad, actually. So to make a good decision, it's three parts. Love, wisdom, integrity. So think of it like a drink, even like if this, so I have this drink here. Imagine, love, wisdom, integrity. And that is a good drink, a good
That's
full,
so good.
Good drink. And it's helped me so much with how do I handle this situation or how do I love this person? Now, love doesn't always mean give them what they want. Maybe the wise thing is not to, you know, like with children, you have to be careful on what you give them. Like they want everything, but some things aren't good for them. Amen.
Yep. Amen. Say that.
Popsicles for breakfast are not always the best idea.
Oh my gosh. Please come tell honey that, because that is the struggle right now, that she does want popsicles for breakfast. But
yes.
That's so true.
And popsicles is a fun word to say.
Yes.
And they're sweet to eat, but it can't be breakfast.
That's
it has
good.
To be later. And maybe once or maybe twice, three times a week, maybe. But yeah, anyway, so
that.
Yeah, love, wisdom, integrity. That's the best way to make a decision.
I love that. That's such good advice. And, you know, I've heard it said, if God repeats himself, you better listen. And it's funny because I typically record multiple podcasts a day. And today I recorded a podcast with my counselor. She literally flew in for this. And
cool.
Our whole podcast was on discernment and decision making. And I really wanted to help people through that. And it's so cool because she gave us three words, faith, hope, and love. And she walked us through essentially what you just said with wisdom, love, and integrity. Then we talked about what we didn't talk about with faith, hope, and love, and those making decisions off of those things. Like, does it grow your faith with God? Does it bring you hope? Are you loving people? Then we talked about like how to honor people and all those things. So like integrity, that side of it. So it's just so crazy because I literally just spent an hour having this conversation. I came in and you said that. So I don't know if it's me that needs to hear or all of you listening, all of you people out there.
I'll take it.
I think
I'll
it's
take
all
it.
Of us. I think we all need to hear that because our decisions that we make do matter. And you want to do them with integrity. You got to do them with love and wisdom. And that's how you don't regret decisions later. And, you know,
Absolutely.
Sometimes like me and Miss Tara talked about, like, you know, don't shame yourself if you've made bad decisions in the past. We all have. Like, repent, get back up, keep going. But in the future, as you continue on, make the decisions wisely. And so I just love that you shared that, because that's something that we all apparently in the Well That's Good fam need to hear. Okay.
I love it.
You have number three too? Spring is a great time to start something new, right? So whether it's cleaning or a new hobby or a new audiobook, a good story is always a great way to start a new journey, and Audible has all that you need. I come from a family of great storytellers, so I know Audible is the home of storytelling, which is where I want to be. Audible lets you enjoy all your favorite audio entertainment together in one app. There's always something new to discover, or you can rediscover some of your old favorites. Audible has an incredible selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestseller, new releases, memoirs, mysteries and thrillers, business and more. It is the destination for mind-blowing entertainment with selections of mystery and thrillers that will keep your heart racing. And with next listen recommendations, there's always something irresistible at your fingertips. Plus, members get full access to a huge and growing selection of included audiobooks and Audible originals and even podcasts like Well That's Good. So you can download them or stream them anytime, anywhere. Audible members can also pick one title each month to keep from the entire catalog, which is some serious benefits, y'all. The newly included selection of titles makes your Audible membership even more valuable and gives you the chance to discover your next favorite thing. With thousands of titles available, you're definitely going to find something that you love all in one convenient app. So I know some of you are into, you know, thrillers, crime, mystery. And I gotta be honest, that's not really been my thing. So I told Bella, okay, Bella, tell me what I could like listen to that wouldn't scare me, but I would like be into it. And she told me about this title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And so I started it, and John Luke loved it too. And so I'm just now on the cusp of it. And y'all, let me tell you, it is very entertaining. You do want to listen to see what happened next. So if y'all are into that, Audible is a great place to find those too. New members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/woe or just text woe to 500-500. That's Audible, audible.com/woe, or text woe to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days. Y'all, I love summertime. It is my favorite season, and I'm so excited to jump back in. We are approaching the best time of the year. But no matter what your summer looks like, KiwiCo invites kids and kids at heart to enjoy their first summer adventure series. Kids can receive 6 hands-on science and art project kits over 6 weeks, no matter what their age is, with enriching activities that accompany each project. KiwiCo has something for everyone, with different topics for each age, from space to dinosaurs and so much more. I am so excited about the summer series. We actually are getting this little driver that I know Haven is going to love, because it's a little steering wheel and she loves anything active. And also a little like neighborhood fun one where they have a water paint thing, which is so good because it's not going to make a mess. And Honey is so into painting right now. And painting with a 3-year-old, yeah, that's just hard. So I'm excited for the no mess. KiwiCo offers kids a chance to get outside and explore screen-free with projects like the Bottle Rocket Kit from the Summer Adventure Series. They can turn the outdoors into a playground of learning and fun. Every Summer Adventure Series with KiwiCo is a personalized experience that includes real engineering, science, and art projects. And you'll be impressed with how high quality all the materials are. Everything we've gotten from KiwiCo has been absolutely amazing and such high quality. I know sometimes it can be hard to find creative, engaging ways to keep your kids away from the screens and just having fun, but KiwiCo does the legwork for you so you can focus on spending fun and quality time tackling projects together. The KiwiCo Summer Adventure Series is personalized to your family and can be received all at once or weekly for 6 weeks, depending on your schedule. If you like it all at once, that's great, or space it out a little bit. Build the best summer ever with KiwiCo. Get 20% off your summer adventure series at kiwico.com/SadieRobSummer. That's 20% off your summer adventure at KiwiCo, KiwiCo.com/SadieRobSummer.
I have a number three. Here's the interesting thing about the number three. I feel like the Holy Spirit gave this to me. So I can't say I've ever heard it before. I can't say it's probably been said, but for me, I was sitting in just, you know, I try to be as quiet as I can in the morning just so that I can sit and think and pray and just really try to listen to God. Mm-hmm. Truly, like with my ears, not just like reading it. But I felt like one day when I was actually preparing, and this probably happens to you a lot, when you're preparing for something, God gives you something that you need and you're like, whoa,
yeah,
where did I get that? And I'm like, that's totally from God. Thank you, Jesus. But basically, I was kind of in a tailspin about something else. And I just kept getting this mindset that was super negative. And the negative was just saying, man, that enemy hates you. Gosh, he just hates you. And I'm like, you know what? That's true. He does. He hates me. And he hates me a lot. And he hates all of the Christians. He like so much. It's bile in his mouth. Just us, period. But I think if we like think about that too much, we're actually not seeing the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. So here's what's so beautiful that I feel like the Lord gave me. He's like, yeah, the enemy hates you. Jesus actually said, hey, they're gonna hate you because mm-hmm. They hate me. But yeah. What's amazing is the enemy's hate for me, though a lot, is not even a drop in the bucket
yep.
to the love that I have in Christ.
Wow.
Like the love is so vast. The love is so great. It's so much more than the hate. And I've already been given that love. Hmm. And here's what's so great. The hate came from a created thing.
Hmm.
The love did not. The wow. love comes from the uncreated. And so the uncreated loves me and it's eternal love.
Wow.
That hate, it doesn't matter. I have wow. so much more love than I have hate.
That's so good.
Coming at me.
I love and that.
And I just was like, so what it did was it downsized all of the problems. It
yeah.
downsized all the hate that I would get from the enemy or anybody else, which is ultimately from him. But I had to see it in this mindset. The one who loves me created me. I'm a mm-hmm. created thing. The one who loves me was not created.
Yeah.
He created the enemy.
That's
and the enemy,
crazy.
All he's got is what he's been given.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it's
good.
Just like, whew, it just makes me go, okay, shush, enemy, shush, devil. Like you got
so
no
good.
Room in here. I got so much more love in the room than I have hate in the room.
I love that. Come on, speak that. I've never heard anybody say that before. So I love that the Lord gave you that. And just for those listening, what a great thing to think about in light of all the things that are bad in the world and all the things that are hard, because that's very easy to just get our mind cycled on to go,
sure.
you know what? There is so much more love that I have. And this love mm-hmm. is eternal love. And so no matter what I'm facing today, that might be hard. It might be true that it is hard and it might be ugly mm-hmm. or whatever.
Absolutely.
The love so far outlast that. The love is beyond that. And so, I love that so much. It's so good.
I was trying to teach on, which I don't teach much. but I had been invited to go to this women's thing and, I got like 20 minutes. So I was like, what am I going to say in 20 minutes? And the thing that I felt like I needed to camp on was John 3:16, because everybody knows it. The whole world knows it. But
yeah.
I wanted to camp on the word for God so loved the world.
That's
because
so good.
It's emphatic. It's like, how much does he love us? So much. Like we use this word still. Like, that is so good. You are so
yep.
pretty. That is so yummy. This is so fun. And it's just the emphasis that God's trying to put on love.
Wow.
And that love is eternal. And that he's trying to say, my love is eternal. Well, he's not trying to do anything. He is saying, my love is eternal.
Wow.
And that's how much love we have. In us, because we have God in us. Isn't
wow,
that crazy?
That's so good.
That's so great.
Literally, I knew I was going to do that. I was like, about to say that's so good. That I was like, don't say so. It'll seem like you forced it. And I just said it just because I wanted to emphasize how good that was. And I'm sitting here, I'm laughing. If you're watching this on YouTube, I literally looked over at my team because this is so weird. And I don't know when my counselor's podcast is going out. And I hope it's right before this, because we sat there and talked about John 3:16. And we I don't talk about John 3:16 in every podcast.
No.
Like, I don't know that I've ever have talked about John 3:16, at least recently in a podcast. And I'm sitting here and we're talking about this and I'm like, you know what? Like, that verse is so powerful. And I'm like, sometimes we miss the gravity of it because we've heard it since we were little and we sing the song and we know it and people put it on their bio and that's great. But it's like, don't like miss what God's saying, like what mm-hmm. that means. And we broke it down, but we didn't emphasize the so. You're picking out everywhere we left off. You're putting the emphasis. You're like, hey, just in case you didn't hear that, let me say it again. Let me put an exclamation point on it. So I'm like freaking out over here. This is awesome. Okay, literally, I'm so glad I made you say all three of those because that was all so good. So for those of the people who are listening, they already love you, I know, because you just dropped three bombs. Also... if you haven't noticed by listening to her, you have an incredible voice. You just did our voiceover for our conference. If you saw it on Instagram, it's kind of like the theme of our conference, our move video. You did the voiceover. But not only do you do voiceovers and different things like that, but you lead worship. And that's what you did. Like, you kind of hinted at that earlier in your first piece of advice, Bloom, where you're planted. That's what you did for a long time. So bring us back to... kind of, I guess I should have said the beginning of your story, but maybe that could start at birth, that could start wherever. But tell
us, start at birth?
Start wherever you want to start, but tell us a little bit about who you are, your background. And I know people know you as Donna and Ben and Passion, City Church and Breakaway and the different highlights, but who are you? What have you gone through? What got you to where you're at now?
Yeah, wow, okay. Well, let's not start at birth, shall we?
let's skip a few years.
Let's go a little bit further. Whenever I was nine, I went to a camp and there was a guy doing a chalk talk and he shared the gospel during the chalk talk. And I was just drawn to the fact that he was drawing and then he flipped off the lights and there was something pre-drawn and it was like the gospel and it just came alive to me. So I was just like, oh my gosh, I want Jesus. I want to go to heaven. You know, like that was kind of my moment.
It's cool.
And so creativity is a part of me. And I'm drawn to it. And then, so a little bit later, you know, I've been through a bit, you know, my parents had divorced and then we moved towns and then I end up in a school in Round Rock, Texas, which is where Austin is. I was a ball player like you. I didn't play basketball. I was softball. Yes. So I was a ball player and I loved it. It was so much fun. And, I had been invited by the team to go to this thing, a Wednesday night service at a church that was across the street from the high school. And, while I was there, the guy was leading worship and I was like sitting on the front row and I hadn't really been in church really at that point. You know, I got saved, but then it really wasn't a big part of my family until later. So I'm listening to him and I'm banging on my legs and, to like the beat. And, after the gathering, he comes off the stage and he goes, "Are you a drummer?" I was like, "No." He goes, "You don't play drums?" He goes, I said, "No, I play softball." And he was like, "Well, we need a drummer." I was like, "I don't know. I'm visiting. I don't know what to tell you, brother." And he's like, "No, come here." And so he calls me up on stage to go over to this like drum machine. And so he was like, "This is a snare. This is a kick. This is a tom. This is a cymbal." I'm like, "Okay." I'm looking at the people that brought me. Like, what is this guy doing? Anyway, so I get up there. I start. He goes, "Do this," and he played the boom tick, boom boom tick. You know, so I was like, "All right." So I did that, and then he gave me another one. And I did it, and he was like, "Okay, we need a drummer. And where do you live?" And I'm like, "Hold up, wait, time out." He was
oh my
like,
gosh.
"What are you doing on Wednesdays?" So I was like, "Nothing." He's like, "Where do you live?" I was like, "Actually, I live like across the street from the church." And he was like, "Well, you could be here then." So the Lord literally made me a drummer, and then I started falling in love with Jesus because I heard the preacher preach so much because I had to play for everything. And so I literally remembered, oh yeah, I love Jesus and I want Jesus. And so I drummed I became a drummer. And then later I was varsity softball, all that stuff. But I had found that I would go to my room and I would write poetry. And I'm like, what is this? This is weird. The softball playing poet, you know? And I got to the point where I was like, I think I actually want to sing some. So I started singing and then we made a band, like a garage band. It was called Seven. There were six of us.
That's awesome. I have never, I never heard any of this. Like, my jaw dropped. And I was like, I did not know you were a drummer. I did not know any of this. Drummer. This is so cool.
I'm not a good drummer, but I was good enough for the Christmas cantata and all the things that they needed me for. Anyway, so I had this band, and then I had started writing these songs, and I realized my heart beats for music. Like, it beats as a songwriter. And I start singing, and then I go to college. I'm going very fast. Go to college and get there, and I start playing and in a worship band as a backup singer. And they're like, "Hey, you should be a worship leader." And I'm like, "No, no, no. I can be a backup singer.
Wow.
But I'm not a worship leader." And they're like, "No, I think you could." I'm like, "Yeah, I don't think you know what you're talking about." But then they, like, back in the day before there were phones, Sadie, back in the day before there were phones, there were camcorders. Someone had put a camcorder in the back of the room and had filmed me and sent my video to a company in Atlanta called the North American Mission Board.
Wow.
For this thing called World Changers. And so World Changers decided we should ask her to be a worship leader. And this wasn't like, I didn't want to do this. Like, somebody sent it off for me. So the Lord just kind of kept doing this. And so then I started being a music leader, is what I was called, but it's basically a worship leader. And I went and did these camps and started playing more and writing more and singing more. And then I started getting invited by the people at the camps who, now I'm in college at this point, but at the people at the camps during the summer actually were from all over the nation. And so we would meet at these mission camps, but then during the school year, whenever there's like Disciple Nows and all the other things, like retreats and this, that, and the other, they would invite me to come be their worship leader. And so I was just kind of going all over, in the 90s. And so I just became more and more of a worship leader like that. Now, I also was not going very deep in my relationship with Christ. I was really good at singing the songs and leading up front but I didn't do the part that would just cultivate intimacy with Jesus. I was more of a talking head, because I could say something that I heard someone say, but I could probably say it a little bit better, and it would stick a little bit more or whatever. But it was all charisma and talent, and it wasn't depth. And so because of that, I got further and further away from the Lord. And then I started kind of going out into the world and doing some things and living a bit of a double life. So, which God doesn't really love that at all, actually. And so in his goodness, he said no more. And I was found out for some things that I had been doing. And whenever that happened, I got fired. And, wow. But at that point I had been invited to so many things that whenever you're invited to all these things, but then you get fired, then all those things go away and then your name is mud. And I now, and a little bit after this, but considered this the biggest gift the Lord ever gave me.
Wow.
Was to fire me from the ministry and, put me on the bench. And I had to spend more time diving deep into who he was and who I was, who I am in him. And that was where the good songs came. All the songs before, I even wrote a song before that was like about, it was called Hypocrite. And I wrote it about my boyfriend's girl that took him from, it was so lame and dumb. you know what I mean? It's like, right. Oh man, are you really, you wrote that song? But I did, and whatever.
That's epic.
But post that, you know, whenever, after I had gone through a restoration, which God, you know, I didn't get up on stage for a year. I had gotten kicked out of school, which was bad because I was all over the country and thinking I was some kind of big deal, and I'm really not a big deal. And so because of all that and all of the ways that I just kept dropping the ball, God just said, all right, it's just us now. No, you don't get to get on stage and sing a song. You don't, that's not why I love you. I love you because I love you. Mm-hmm. And you're here because I brought you here. And what, Sadie, I'm going to try not to cry about all this.
Okay.
But I know, but I just, what I learned in that dark, beautiful, safe, hidden place, is the seedbed for the rest of the ministry my entire life. And now I'm however many more years, I don't want to do math right now, but you know, I'm half my life older.
Yeah.
And I'm super grateful for all that has happened since then, because it's been seasons that I've gone to and repeated, and gone to other seasons and been just blessed by how the Lord shepherded my heart in that hidden time, and then has done it, brought me back up into the light where I'm up on the tip again, or up on the top of the mountain again, and then it'll take me back into the dark. You know, it'll take me up in the mountain, and it'll take me back, you know, and it's so good. And that's where it all kind of began, just a lot of what I write about now.
Wow. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. I don't know how often you share all of that and all those parts of your story. I don't think often. And no. I just want to say thank you, because there are so many people listening that I personally know that listen to this podcast that need to hear that that's your story, and that because that's their story, and that it was actually the greatest gift God gave you. And that, because I think sometimes when people want to do ministry or people want to do something for the Lord, sometimes it can get, you can get a little confused up in that, right? And it's like, you think the greatest gift God could give you would be that platform or would be that thing. But the greatest thing God can give you is himself, right? And it's like, that's it. And if you have a platform and you don't have him, you have nothing, you know?
Right.
And so if you do have a platform and you keep going in that direction, you will continue to not have anything, and you will eventually burn out, or it will get found out, or it will just not be fulfilling or whatever. And so it is so important. And I think so many people right now who are listening to this are the age that you probably were at that time, my age, around this age, and like you're going for it, but you have to make sure your motives are in the right place before you go. And I love Speak Conference. Priscilla Shire, when she talked about the zebras, it was like so good. I know not everybody has gotten to hear that message because it was at a smaller gathering, but Priscilla was talking about how zebras, once they're born, they get with their mother for the first couple weeks before they go into the whole pack. Like the mother and the baby will go away from the pack. And the reason they do that is because every zebra has a different pattern. Even though to us, when we look at zebras, they all kind of look the same. They're black
they're
and
all
white
stripy.
And they're beautiful and they're stripy, but they don't look different, but they actually all have a different stripe pattern. Well, at the very beginning of their life, the baby studies the mom's stripe pattern and gets to know the stripe pattern before they enter the pack, so that that baby will always know that that is his mother or her mother. And Priscilla said it in such a way, she was saying, if when you begin ministry, if you don't take the time to sit with the Lord, be with the Lord, go deep with the Lord and know him, then you're going to get lost in the pack. And she was saying, like, you have to know the Father. You have to know the voice. You have to know who he is and be in relationship with him. And she said, we put too many people on stage who have good talent, good charisma, who, like you said, I love how you just admit it, because I have to be careful with that, because I do know how to turn it on when a camera's on. I do know how to do all those things. And I'm like, God, just strip any of that away. That's not authentic. That's not genuine. That's not pure in heart, because I'm not doing this for that. I'm doing this with you, you know? And I'll have to constantly check myself with that too. I love how you just said it. So if you're someone who knows that about yourself, admit that, get with the Lord and know, like, I don't need to be on stage. I need to be with God. And so I just love that you shared that. And I just want to take a second to speak into that, because I know so many people who have told me, I want to do what you're doing. I want to do this. And like, to them, what I'm doing looks like a stage, or to them, what ministry looks like, it looks like a platform. And I'm like, no, you just need Jesus. Because just like you, I would not have picked this for myself. I would not have done this for myself. When Louie and Chili asked me to preach at Passion, I literally said to them, I don't think you know that I don't do that. Like, I don't think you know I've never preached before. Like, I don't think you understand. I don't even know how to come up with a sermon, because the only time I've ever done anything like this, I encourage people for 10 minutes. Like, I don't even know what that looks like. But that's what God was doing. And so I say that to say, like, if you're just with God, he knows you better than you do. He'll open the doors that he needs to open, but you just got to follow him in that direction. So thank you for sharing that. Thank you for being so vulnerable in that. Sure. Let's talk about the beauty of your creativity and how that has connected you with God. You literally, I was sitting behind you at Passion this year, and you're listening to Louis talk, and you're drawing him and drawing like this beautiful scene, and then you did it whenever I talked, and like you do see things in such a visual, creative, spiritual way. And God gave you this kind of vision, I guess, and whole download on growth and seeds and plants. Can you just break that down a little bit and share that with everyone? Because it's so beautiful.
Wow, thank you. We are all created to create because we are created in the image of the creator. Mm-hmm. And so all of us have creativity. Some do different creative things. I enjoy drawing. I enjoy singing and writing and building and those kinds of things. I would say for me, it kind of helps me. It helps me focus. I'm a bit of a squirrel, you know, kind of person. I have to do something. So drawing actually helps me focus on what you guys are saying. And so if you want, if I don't draw, then you're like, you can come up later and be like, Donna, what did I talk about? I'll be like, I don't know.
I love that.
No. So drawing helps me focus, and writing and taking notes. And, do you want me to talk about like growing or what do you?
So you sent me a YouTube video about growing that you narrated and drew, and it was beautiful. And I want you to talk about that because you referenced it when you're talking about your story, and you might not even realize how much you do it, where you talk about the plants and the seed and the ground and all this stuff. And some people just don't even think like that visually. I think like that. I'm so visual. Like if I'm sitting in a meeting the whole time, I'm like you might think I'm checked out. Actually, people have said to me, like, you have your thinking face. What are you thinking about? I'm like, no, I'm actually listening to you. But if I can't visualize it, then, like, I don't know how to do it. Like, I have to, see a vision of it. And a lot of times it's a little abstract and stuff like that. But then I'm like, okay, I got it. Let's go with it. And so I'm constantly envisioning stuff. And you are not just doing that in your brain. You're doing that with your hands and creating this. And when you sent me that thing on growing – and I was like, wow, this is so beautiful and so true about our whole life. So can you just like talk about that a little bit and that visual?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So growing is, first let's talk about the word. Growing is always happening. It's not stopping. It's present. It's happening. It's going to keep happening. And so that already has movement to it, which I know move is kind of our word, right?
It is our word.
But it has so movement to it. And what's beautiful is when we are in Christ, we keep moving. Because we are going to not just remain where we are, we're going to go to heaven one day, and that is just going to be amazing. But while we're here as a believer, so growing is for the believer. The idea is there are I saw it as like seven seasons of the soul. It's not all the seasons of the soul. It's just the seven that I wanted to focus in on. And truth is, I didn't lay it out. I felt like the Lord gave it to me as I went. So I had to literally live this real time before I could write anything down.
That's always the case.
It's so crazy. So growing took a long time. the overarching theme of growing is actually waiting. So, where I got it from was, do you remember the book, The Giving Tree?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that book? All right. You also know the book, Oh, the Places You'll Go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's a bit of a fusion of those two ideas. But the interesting thing about those two books is that, The Giving Tree is a bit of a codependent tree. Let's be honest. it's kind of sad, right? The Places You'll Go is great and you'll get it at graduation or whatever. But there's the centerfold of the book is almost always the like main point of your book. Or at least that's what I've noticed about Hebrew poetry. The center is actually the point. The center of, The Places You'll Go is a twofold spread like this, and it's all purple and looks really sad. And it's a thing that Dr. Seuss was trying to tell you that you're going to get to this place one day called the waiting place. And he calls it a useless place. And I said, no, I don't agree with that at all. I don't think it's useless. I think it's essential. And so that's where I started growing. So growing. Wow. Starts at the waiting place. And the waiting place happens a lot of times in life. So the way that growing is it's seasons that happen again and again and again, but you're not the same. So here's three things you need to know about seasons. Seasons have a beginning and an end. Seasons prepare you for the next season, and seasons season you and make you more interesting.
That's so good.
Yeah. So those are the three. But if you're starting with the waiting place, it starts at the seed, like any tree starts at a seed, like any plant starts with a seed. The seed is a hidden place. The first three books, they're broken into books, kind of like the Chronicles of Narnia are broken into books. So the first three books are actually, or chapters, whatever, are actually underneath the ground. So they're the beneath. And these are key to our growth, like what you were talking about, Sadie. The first is the seed. The second is just, I mean, in the seed, he just realizes, wait a second. I'm a seed. Like, I don't know what I'm here for, but you know, and I'm going to stay here and trust who planted me. So that's what the seed is. The second is the root. The root is all about growing in community. It's about seeing the other roots that are beneath the ground. So trees kind of do this, and then they like hook up like that. Not hook that's up, cool. guys. Don't. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not hook up. But you know what I mean? Like link. They link.
Right. They link
like
up.
Me and Sadie are linked underneath the ground. So they kind of get together under the ground. And that's good because that's the community, being there for each other. Mm. And you're growing in the Lord and you're growing in community. Oh, and the whole thing about growing is it's an analogy. So it speaks from that, you know, the seed is basically, darkness essential. I'm buried alive, you know, hidden and fragile in the depth I abide, feeling forgotten in fathoms below, but daily I'm warmed by the sun's piercing glow.
Wow.
The earth as a blanket wraps me up in the deep, and it says, an occasional storm pounds the roof where I sleep. Hmm. And somehow I feel nourished. In my soul, I expand. Though still underground, I do understand. This is all planned. This darkness intended. This silence extended. This gift for me, must I receive? Yes, it has to be. Darkness essential for what I will be. Hmm. And who knows what that is? You know, and you see. Because you planted me here. You planted this seed. That's it. That's the first book.
Wow. I don't understand. I don't think you understand that what you just said so effortlessly was like, I've heard you say that. I've heard the book, but I leaned in and now and each word hit me in a different way because as you're talking, I see those hidden spaces in my life. I think about that thunder, that pounding rain, but like that this is intended for me that I grow and that I actually am not just here by accident, not tossed in underground. Like I'm planted here for a reason. And one day, like the reason I'm here, like it will bloom and it, you know, and there will be something that good comes from this. Like I'm actually planted here intentionally for a reason. So I think about that for my life and it just gives me so much hope. And I'm thinking every single person listening to this podcast just leaned in and everything you just said, they just saw where their seat is. They just saw where they're at. And so for those listening who is like, okay, what in the world? Like Donna Stewart, I didn't even know. Like I had no idea what was about to happen. Like I thought we were going to talk about church. But like what? Like they can go on YouTube and listen to this. So how do you type in growing Donna Stewart?
Yeah, if you just put in, growing full series Donna Stewart, you can listen to it.
Yeah.
So, I'm working on, because you asked me to do all these things lately, Sadie, which is awesome and a lot and awesome and
I
awesome.
I do ask you to do a lot.
I just was like, oh, I need to probably let people know where to go and how to do it. So I have a coming soon Donna Stewart Creative.
Yes. Oh, yes. I am like, I am glad I asked you to do so many things so that you had to do this. So here's the thing.
I had to because I was like, oh, gosh.
Here's the thing that I think is awesome. You have such a gift. I mean, not even just one. You have 1,000. You have so many gifts. And you're so good at what you do, but you don't do them because you need them to be seen by a million people. And you don't do them because you need to be recognized for them. Like, you started sending me stuff, like growing the whole series and other things that you've done, the armor of God, and you've done all kinds of different things. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, hold on, like, you did this, like, 6 years ago? Like, you did this, like, 10 years ago? Like, this is like, been out there. Why doesn't everybody know about this? And I just love that you're, like, even if it's not for everybody, like, you did this because this is what God put in your life to do. So can you just talk about that for a second? Because I think a lot of people, like, their intention and why they do things is wrong, right? And, like, maybe they're not doing something that they feel led to do because they're waiting on the people around them to validate it. They're waiting on the people around them to notice it. Like, they're waiting on that. And I just love that, like, your website or whatever is coming after you've already done it all. Like, it's not starting with that. It's, like, ending with that, which is actually kind of funny. Not ending,
it was one
but
of my
it's like
plan.
A new beginning
it.
Thing. I love right. that. It's like, hey, now that I put all this stuff out here for years, like, let's actually host a place for it. Like, I just love that. Mm-hmm. So talk to people right now who, like, have all these things on their heart and are, like, waiting for the people around them to notice it or whatever. Like, how do you just start where you're at and do it with full intention?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess going back to the first thing that we talked about, like, I had to bloom where I had to take the advice. I had to bloom where I'm planted. And so you just keep. You just keep doing what you feel like you're supposed to do in the Lord. And, you know, the scriptures say, in Proverbs, it says, you don't need to talk about yourself. Let other people talk about you. And if I've learned anything in my life, the timing is not mine. It's the Lord. Mm-hmm. And, he knew that what's today? Oh, 31st. I know it's the 31st because I have a story I'd like to tell at the very end if I can, but
please
we're going to wait till then. But today's the 31st. So what I've been doing is going through, every day I try to read a proverb chapter according to the month because there's 31. And so today I read Proverbs 31, which is kind of nice. And
it's
great.
That.
Anyway, but in the Proverbs, it also says, you don't need to talk about yourself. You just do. You just be the Proverbs 31 woman. And then it says there, you will be talked about. You will be known. And your children will praise you and your husband will praise you and your good works will. It says at the very last line, it says, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. So it's like you just keep doing what God is calling you to do and bloom where you're planted. You know, you said the word validation. I have struggled with that word in life. And another thing I felt the Lord had given me when I was just kind of like, you know, because I'm still, everybody's human and we get tempted to sit and fester and be mad that other people are bearing fruit and we're not yet and all the things, and which is also part of growing. It's the sixth book. I was thinking about the idea of validation. And I think of a validation. Validation is tricky. When you're looking to be validated for something, you're looking to created things to validate you. And the creator has already done it. It's called justification.
That's right.
You're
Wow.
justified. You're righteous. And so therefore, validation then becomes a slippery slope. And it becomes potentially idolatry, because then what you're doing is taking lesser loves and making them the ones that are saying who you are. And that's not good. That's actually really dangerous. And I tried to do that for a bit. And it's so, even though something is natural, it doesn't mean it's best. It's a natural thing to do, to look to the created things around you, to validate you, to look to the moms and the dads and the mother and father figures and the friends and the people who do the same thing you do or whatever, your idols or whatever, if that gives you a word, idol. But it's just, if you do that, that's a natural thing to do, but natural is we are naturally broken.
Wow.
And so we don't want to do that. We want to do what's best. And what's best is that we've had the deposit of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and he bears fruit. And those fruits are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, gentleness. And above, there is no law. So don't look to people to validate you.
Wow.
When you're already, you have all you need in Christ and you've already been deemed that this one is mine and I have validated her or him, whoever's listening. But I will say this too. It is okay. And please, Christians, use your words. Just say, I confirm what God is doing in you. If you want to encourage somebody and say, oh my gosh, you just absolutely, this is what God has done in you. He is doing in you, like you're doing with me today. you're affirming what God has been doing. You are confirming that this is a thing. And instead of me looking to you to go like, well, you know what? Guess what happened, guys? I got to be on LO or whatever. I got to be on the Whoa, That's Good podcast. Like, that's not validating me. That's great. And that's the kindness of the Lord.
Yeah.
My heart couldn't have handled it until I was 45. And so, because I looked for it for a while, just like a lot of people who are struggling with it, but just roll that onto the Lord. If you struggle with wanting the world to validate you, I'm sorry. That's a hard spot to be, but you can move forward and just go, God, you've already validated me.
It's great.
No person can do that. No thing I do can do that. Because I am absolutely justified and wanted and loved forever.
That is so good. I'm so glad you shared that. And that's so helpful. And I think about, because, you know I have a lot of influence, if you will, at a young age, and that can sometimes be, dangerous for people. And you said, I couldn't handle this. So I was 45 in certain cases, like, it is hard, you know, because you do have all of this coming at, like, comments from people and seeking validation and whatnot. But I think one thing that actually helped me in a bizarre way is that because I had so much input in by, like, all of the world at such a young age, I realized that I actually, like, am never going to be loved by everyone at the same time, and I'm probably not going to be hated by everyone at the same time either, but I'm probably always going to have people that hate me and people that love me. And if I make a post, there's always going to be good comments and there's always going to be bad. Like, it's never like 100% good and it's never 100% bad. And so I think, like, because people are fickle and the world is fickle and people are people and created things, if I were to try to find any constant in that, that's just delusional, because it's not constant. And so I had to find it in God, because I was like, you're the only thing that's constant. And this is going to take me down a road of high highs and low lows and all that stuff. And not that I still don't have high highs and low lows, but I have a constant in Christ. And so I think what I realized at a young age, because of a lot of people saying good things and bad things about me, is that I can't listen to either of that, because it'll either give me the big head or make me feel like I'm trash. And like, I have to find that from the Lord. Yes. Right. Like, it's both are bad. Like, a lot of good, a lot of bad. And so I had to find it in the Lord. And so I'm grateful for that. And even though that was, like, way harder to learn and go through than just saying it in a 2-minute, you know, soundbite, I do think that humbled me to the point of knowing that, like, I don't need to seek validation from people. I have to find that in God. And he already does. And like you said earlier, before you sing a song, he loves you. Like, before I do anything, he loves me.
Yeah.
And he validates, just like, the justification of me is not because of, like, the things that I'm going to do or validating me and things that I can do, but just me because I'm his, you know? Mm-hmm. And like that, that took me actually a couple of years to work through and learn. Like, that whole, I preach on this at Passion about Peter, like, do you love me, feed my sheep? And to me, I was always like, feed the sheep. But I didn't want to, like, sit there and be like, okay, you love me. Because that can feel uncomfortable, and that's crazy, and like, how do you love me? But when I got that, like, God wants relationship with me before he wants me to do anything or calls me to do anything, like, that changed my life. And so I love that you shared that. Okay, I can't believe we've already gone this long, so tell your story, because I want to hear your story. And okay. I'm getting carried away.
No, this is great. I love it. See, this is us. We can talk forever.
It's great.
So this morning, this happened today, so I'm probably going to cry, but I just want to bless you with this, because it blessed me so much. So this morning, so I get up early, and because my house is quiet and no one's moving, and I can just get coffee and sit with the Lord. And you know, I opened up Proverbs 31, and I'm reading through, and I get to this Proverbs 31 verse 25 and 26. And it says, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And I paused, and I was like, God, that is what I want. I just want to, because I was thinking about this today. I was like, I just want to speak the wisdom that you have given me, and I want to be kind. I'm crying about it. And I want that to be the way I live life with my children and with the people that I encounter, with my husband, with all of it. And then I just felt like I'm just going to sit and think about that. And so I closed my eyes. Sadie, oh my gosh, this was so cool. I closed my eyes and I was just sitting and thinking, and I felt like I could visualize, like what you do. I was visualizing Jesus just holding me like this. And I'm like, okay. And so I'm like, start crying. But then this is what was so great. We serve a triune God. He's not like sometimes Jesus, sometimes the Father, sometimes the Spirit. He's always all three. That's how he works. And so what I felt was this amazing, like I'm getting held. And then I felt like the hug got thick, like stronger. And then I felt, and I was like, this is like a big bear hug. And I was like, wow, this feels, and now people who are breaking down the theology of this is not modalism. This is just my feeling that I'm having in this moment. And so my hug got stronger. And then I felt like visually, I felt like when you hold someone's back of their head and you kind of hold someone like this, it's just this really nurturing, parental, fatherly hug. And then I visualized just getting a rub on the back, you know, just that really comforting, wow. You know, the friend that'll like rub your back. They're like, it's going to be okay. Yep. And so I'm like, I feel like I'm getting a Trinitarian hug right now. But it was just me. I'm like, I'm not trying to point this to the Bible. So please don't do that. If you're about to just break it all down, don't do that. Just let me do this real quick. Anyway, but here's the part that's so wonderful. So that was beautiful. And then my timer goes off. It's 7:30. I have to go wake up the kids because we have to go do physicals for school and all these different things. So I go, and then they're getting ready, and then I'm getting ready. And then Hannah walks into my bathroom, and she just kind of sits there. She's like, hey, Mom. And I was like, hey, baby. And she just said, I'm a little nervous about today because she's going to get a physical. And that's kind of nerve wracking. She's 11 and it's a lot. And just all of that. If things are changing, all things are changing right now. Mm-hmm. And so, and I said, you know, baby, can I share with you what happened today in my quiet time with Jesus? She's like, sure. And I was like, and this is my hope for you. I want this relationship that I have to be the relationship that you have with him. I was like, come here. So I pull her to me and I hug her. And I was like, I felt like Jesus was hugging me. And she just, you know how little ones kind of like slunk, or even you, you know, he kind of slunk into the hug. Anyway, so I felt like she just kind of slunked into me. And then I was like, and then I felt like this bear hug. And then I started squeezing her a bit harder. And then I put my hand on the back of her head and I'm watching her in the mirror. Okay, so I'm watching her process this, like, because we have multiple mirrors in the room. And anyway, so I'm watching her process. And then you could just see just this, please hold me. Like, please, thank you for loving me. And then I was like, and then I felt like there was a rub on my back, like the Holy Spirit, who's our comforter. And this is what he's there to comfort us. And she just held me, just kept holding me as I'm holding her. And then I just felt like, I was like, how did this make you feel? She goes, I love this and I want this. And I'm just like, wow. So I just started crying because I was like, that's what I want. I want my family. I want my daughters and my son to love Jesus the way that I love him. And I want them to understand how much he loves us. And if that's just a picture for anybody, I don't know. I just want that for you. I want you to know how much God loves you. And if you can know that, it's going to take a lot of the power out of all the negative that you face in life, because you're so wrapped up. That's what I felt today, wrapped up in eternal love that I will never lose, that I will always have. And you will too in Christ. We can't lose it. It's infinite. And so I hope that blesses you. It blessed me, man. I will never forget today for the rest of my life. And Hannah told me, she goes, I'm never going to forget this.
Wow. Oh my gosh. I'm never going to forget it. That is like the most beautiful story. That's the most beautiful story. I don't even have words to, sometimes I feel like in these podcasts, I have to, you know, I'm hosting, right? So you have to host. But sure. Then there are moments in this podcast that I don't even know how to host because I'm sitting here being so ministered to and learning so much from. And this is one of those moments that I have to go, I don't know how to host right now because I just need to listen. And I don't even know how I'll end this right now because I just need to listen. And I hope for those who are listening that you're doing what I'm doing and you're listening and you're learning. I want to be like that as a mom. I want to love Jesus so much in the mornings that by the time my kids wake up, I get to tell them about what he told me. And honestly, right now, I'm not because I'm so tired in the morning.
Oh,
and I'm like,
girl, give yourself grace.
No, I know I'm giving myself, I'm not beating myself up about it.
Right.
But I'm just saying I'm learning from you in that. And hearing that story is so beautiful. Like, it's so beautiful. And I love that you said, like, don't try to break this down. Don't try to be like, was it like, because God is so good. And God is so relational and he's so specific to his relationship with you and to show you that and to do that and then for you to do that for your kids, like then he's so specific and relational to your family and to your kids and seeing how he loves them and lets you love them through him. Like, it's just like the most beautiful thing ever. And so, Donna, like, thank you for being someone that I learn from all the time. And thank you for being someone that, because, you know, I don't hound down everybody, but I hound you down asking to do stuff because I'm like, I want people to learn from you. I want people to get the gift of learning from you like I have. And that is why I started this podcast, so that people could have the gift of the friendships that I get to have with these amazing people too, that they can hear from this amazing wisdom as well. And so thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
We'll all be marked by that. I hope none of us who listen to this will forget just what God did in your heart and your life and everything that you said. And from beginning to end, how you started this podcast and how you're ending it, that there is eternal love that is so much bigger than the hate. There's eternal love that's so much bigger than anything hard that you're going through in your life right now. And some of you just need to go sit with the Creator. You need to sit with that eternal love and you need to realize the emphasis on the so much. I want to go right on my mirror in all caps, so much, and just not forget that. Donna, this was probably, I hesitate to say this because other people listening to this who have been on the podcast, but this is one of my favorite podcasts of all times. I'm not kidding. And so thank you for being on and blessing us today.
It was so much fun. Love you so much, Sadie. And I just say thank you. Thank you for being somebody who can do this. The Lord has given you the opportunity to be able to speak to the masses. And that is a humble place to be. Yeah. And you have walked that very humbly. And I learn from you all the time too, sweetheart. So I can't wait to get to see you next weekend.
Yes. Woo! LO Conference. We're so excited. Oh yes.
So excited.
Because this is actually going to drop Wednesday and LO Conference is the weekend.
What?
So it's so awesome. Donna will be there. She's going to be answering so many of y'all's spiritual questions. And now you know she's a good one to be answering them. So can't wait for a conference. And Donna, thank you for just being a sweet friend. Love you.
Absolutely. Love you. See you later.